Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Dynasty After Dark. This is going to be round two of the rookie mock draft, early rookie mock draft. And if you haven't heard it yet, we've already gone through round number one, first 12 picks. And, you know, like we talked about extensively last time, not all the picks are going to fall based on how I rank them top 24. But that should give you a good idea of where the value is when your rookie drafts do finally come around. So real quick, just running through that. And again, if you want some of the thought process behind some of these picks, go back and listen to the round one recap that we did. And real quick, before we get into it, you follow me over on Twitter at @TDC_Calvin. You can follow Dale over on Twitter at @Dynasty_Dale. You can find this podcast on the YouTube channel, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find Dynasty After Dark. But I also want to give you guys a shout out for Let's Talk Sports YouTube channel. I did start a second podcast over there, The Calvin Tim Show. It's great. My ego is fully fulfilled. But it's kind of great because this one is completely dynasty focused. But on that one, I'm just kind of free to talk sports. And, you know, we talked, my first guest I had, Bobby G, great dude to talk to. We talked about UFC. We talked about the playoffs, real football. Didn't really even touch on fantasy too much over there. So it's just kind of a good time. And I got to give a shout out to Let's Talk Sports for letting me do that. So go check out their YouTube channel and pretty much find this podcast over there. A lot of other great dudes over there as well. So that said, recap around number one. CJ Stroud was number one. Bijan Robinson, two. Anthony Richardson, three. JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, four. Jahmyr Gibbs was five. Quentin Johnston, number six. Michael Mayer, number seven. Hendon Hooker, eight. Kendre Miller is going to be nine. Bryce Young, the big controversial outlier here, him and Hendon Hooker, I guess, is going to be 10. Kayshon Boutte at 11. And Zach Charbonnet at 12, rounding out the first round. So that was the first round. Dale, before we get into the second round, any thoughts?
On the first round, it's interesting. But I really hope in the second round you don't have Stenson Bennett. So
I do, but you won't be disappointed. It's very, very late. So Superflex. And again,
right.
I don't like Stenson Bennett. Don't get me wrong. I just think that he's going to be drafted as a first round pick. Kenny Pickett was a first round pick and I hated him. So and I still gave him some respect in here. So there is that. But no, we'll get to him. Don't want to spoil anything too much there. But any thoughts? Today we actually have the playoffs, the final championship games. Quick prediction, who you think's going to win each game?
I think it's going to be the Eagles in the first game, and in the evening game, it's going to be the Bengals.
I agree with you on the Bengals. I actually think it's the Niners, so that'll be a fun one. Teams are very close, at least the NFC team. Like, literally, it's like the number one, number two defense, so it could go either way. So we'll see how that goes, but I actually have the Bengals winning the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, so that should be fun. But all right, that said, let's jump into round number two here. And we're going to kick it off with somebody that I think was kind of, you know, forgotten about a little bit in round number one there. And that is going to be Jordan Addison. And again, there's so many good players in round one. And I get it, the whole, we don't have to rehash it, the Hendon Hooker thing. But Jordan Addison is someone that I just have a gut feeling him or Kayshon Boutte are going to fall into the early second round. And that's just going to be a huge value. And, you know, the reason why I have the other three wide receivers above him and is just because of the size factor. I believe that JSN, Johnston and Boutte can all be the dominant alpha outside type of wide receiver where Jordan Addison can succeed in that role, but I don't think he's ever going to be as dominant. He's more of a Hollywood Brown type of player to me, and Hollywood Brown's great, but he shines much more out of the slot. And I think Jordan Addison can be very dangerous, but I just, when I'm picking these guys, I'd rather have those three above him for their outlier potential. But Jordan Addison is definitely someone that, I could be definitely sleeping on him. So We'll see. What are your thoughts on him here at number 13 overall?
Yeah, it's for Addison. You know, I do agree with you. He's probably going to fall, you know, probably in the late first round, beginning of the second. I mean, it's because there's going to be a lot of risers, I would guess, in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably well suited around there. I kind of think he could be like this year's like Devontae Smith.
It's definitely possible.
Yeah, it is very possible. And, you know, I can see him being around this because like I said, there's going to be a lot of risers. There's going to be probably some people taking running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, it's before Addison, which I think is an interesting strategy in rookie drafts, because typically we've seen the past few years that wide receivers typically translate a lot better in fantasy.
Yep. Yep. So, and that's so, the one thing yeah. too. So yes. real quick to hammer down those 2 points. And you said two things that I wholeheartedly agree with. One, people have been taking wide receiver over most of their running backs the last couple of years. And I just want to point out that this year's running back class is actually very, very good. We haven't had an elite running back class really since, you know, maybe 2020, the Jonathan Taylor year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential with that class still, but, you know, injuries have really derailed that class a lot.
Yeah.
But before that, it hasn't been since 2017 that we've really gotten a rejuvenation of the running back. And I think that this year's draft class has all that billing, and that's why I think running backs are going to go so heavily in the first round, because people have just been – it'll be interesting to watch, because people have been burned by running backs so much over the last couple of years. So are they going to fade these running backs, or are they going to say these guys are the answer, and because they could very well could be, right? So that's going to be very interesting to watch. And then the second point you said was this – Jordan Addison could be this year's Devonta Smith, and I believe that as well, but that's kind of the issue I have with Devonta Smith, right? I don't think Devonta Smith is ever going to be an elite fantasy option, and he's a very good, very solid, you know, high floor type of guy, but I just don't really see him having as high of a ceiling. So, you know, if he is Devonta Smith for this year's draft class, that's the only red flag for me. Where I think the other three guys have that potential, you know, not Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, but, you know, a lesser version of that, where they can jump up as high, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we'll piggyback off that. I mean, with Smith's finish this year, I think he finished wide receiver 15 or something like that. Like, he finished around there, which honestly, if Addison can do that, I think that's a fantastic pick at pick 201.
Right. Yep. George Pickens, you know, same kind of vein there. So
yes.
I love the value on it. And it just goes to show you the depth of this class, because number two right here is actually going to be Sean Tucker. And I like Sean Tucker a lot. The problem is the size. He's going to be very, very quick, but he is a smaller type of dude. Austin Eckler, light, essentially, Sean Tucker. And again, he's someone that needs to go to a good spot that's going to utilize him well. But if he goes somewhere to kind of compete as a third down type of guy, it does make me a little nervous for fantasy. I do like the skill set of Sean Tucker, but I just don't know if the NFL is going to value him the same way, right? They're going to see his smaller stature, and I think that they're just going to be a little bit more down on it, essentially. So any thoughts on Sean Tucker here?
I'm very excited about Sean Tucker. I think he's going to be one player that really rises. You know, I can see him going late in the first round. It's by a lot of people. Sure. I mean, kind of going off you, like, his size does worry me, but, you know, I mean, if he could be even 75% as productive as Austin Eckler is, I think that's a fantastic pick.
Yeah, we will see. Maybe the Chargers end up taking him, and it could be just a passing of the torch there. So thoughts on him. So in terms of your running back rankings, you know, he was right there at the top of tier three for me. You know, I'd rather have all four of those other guys that went in the first round over him. Mm-hmm. You know, would you rather have someone like Sean Tucker, Jordan Addison? Where's the kind of the tier break there?
I would much rather have Jordan Addison, but that's because in rookie drafts, I value wide receiver more. I've been trending more that way because I've been burnt before by running backs, like Keyshawn Vaughn. I was burnt by him a couple years ago, and thankfully I still got Justin Jefferson in that draft.
So, yeah, yeah.
You know, I got very, very lucky there. So, you know, I could see one of these running backs being like the Keyshawn Vaughns a few years ago and not really performing like we think they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one downside, right? There's so many high value running backs in this class that somebody is going to disappoint. It's just, you know, are you going to be playing hot potato and be the one that catches the potato, right?
Exactly. So,
no, I like Sean Tucker, and the reason I like him a little bit more over number three here, Will Levis. If you go back and you listen to it, I don't love Will Levis at all, but it's almost a lock that he's going to be a first round pick. Again, I'd rather have Hendon Hooker over Will Levis any day of the week if I'm an NFL team, but I just have a gut feeling that Will Levis is going to be a first round pick, but that doesn't make him good, right? That's the one downside for Will Levis. I just don't really see him translating to the NFL, especially with, if you go back to our quarterback ranking show, there's so many red flags about this kid. And like, I get it. Josh Allen had red flags too, overcame them. And it's not impossible for someone like Will Levis to overcome that. But like, I did not like Kenny Pickett last year. After a single year, you know, Kenny Pickett was the 107 in Superflex on average last year. There's four quarterbacks that I have ranked above Will Levis. I just can't get on board with him in the first round. And honestly, I'd rather take the shot on Sean Tucker. You know, if you could get Austin Ekeler 2.0 from Sean Tucker, that's going to be much more valuable than someone like Will Levis, who I don't even think is going to potentially make it. So what are your thoughts on Levis here in the second round?
Yeah, it's with Levis. I don't understand the hype. I mean, I agree, I get he has the prototypical. Yeah, like I get he has the size. He has he has fantastic arm strength, but played
nobody.
and that's been, that's been very. I understand he's playing at Kentucky and he doesn't have the typical weapons as, you know, like the other SEC team. But you know, I can see the comparisons with Josh Allen. Like, I get it. But
I do too.
Also, I just don't. I mean, I do see it, but like, I just think he's your trap player.
Yep. 100%.
He really is. So, I mean, I feel he's, you know, I just don't think he does anything really well other than throwing the ball really far, which isn't always as good.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, at least for Josh Allen, it's for Josh Allen, at least, like, he was able to move and at least make plays with his legs compared to Will Levis, which really hasn't shown he's able to do that.
Right. Yeah. He has not shown a lot of mobility, and you know, like your first point there, he doesn't have all the weapons that some of these other guys do, but like I said, I'd rather have Hendon Hooker over him. Hendon Hooker played better competition, doesn't really have any weapons either. So, you know, I think he played a lot better than someone like Will Levis. But when you go, the best comp that I have for that, go back to Justin Herbert a couple years ago. Justin Herbert had nobody around him. The same draft class that saw Justin Herbert go top five overall to the Chargers, he didn't have a single weapon go in the top six rounds of that draft. Like, there was nobody on that team. And I get it. Will Levis might not have anybody go that high either in this year's draft class, but he also didn't play well. Like, Justin Herbert had good stats while playing with nobody. That's kind of why I loved Herbert as much as I did. Will Levis has bad stats and he's played with nobody. So it's like, like you said, he's like the ultimate trap player here. So I'm not saying completely disrespect him and ignore him. And when we get to this next tier of guys, that's kind of where the bigger question marks start to come in. And it's a super flex, so you kind of got to put the quarterback at the top of that ranking of those guys.
Yes.
So, you know, we're jumping down a tier here in terms of all players, and I would just rather have Will Levis over some of the other question marks, even though I don't really believe in the talent. I could be wrong, you know, so I'm hedging my bets a little bit there. All right, so number four here in the second round is actually going to be Josh Downs. And Josh Downs is going to be my second wide receiver of the second round, fifth overall. And like we said in the wide receiver show, there's a few question marks with Josh, and I have a feeling he's going to go higher than I think he is in the actual NFL draft. Maybe he shows off a little bit better. He just reminds me so much of a DJ Moore type of player who hasn't been bad, but it just hasn't been what he's billed to be, right? So I do like Josh Downs, but I just don't know if it can translate well to the NFL.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I agree with that. I like Josh Downs too. I think his size has a little bit with him being, well, he's 5'10", 175. Like, mm-hmm. I think he has that going against him. But other than that, like, he's really produced with, like, you know, it's the likes of Sam Howell and Drake May. So he's had good talent at the quarterback position. Really helped him.
Yep.
I think he's going to be, I really like him. I think he's going to do fine. I can see him being like the Tyler Lockett kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably going to go probably first round. And if he goes to like the Chiefs, I think that would be a very interesting place for him to go.
Yeah. In the second or something, he just has second round pick written all over him. Like even the Steelers in the second round would not be terrible, to be honest with you. Or even, let's say Washington gets crazy this offseason and go pair him with Sam Howell. Like, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to do, kind of get younger there, trade Terry McLaurin to somebody, kind of commit to a little bit of a rebuild there in Washington. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's going to be a big question where he goes. That's ultimately going to drive his fantasy value, in my opinion. If he goes somewhere, let's say he's a third, fourth round pick, it's really going to push him down boards. But I still like the talent quite a bit. I just like the other guys a lot more. I think that there's a lot more, even Jordan Addison, who is a 2-1, we talked about as a Devonta Smith type. Devonta Smith is like a very high wide receiver too, consistently. That's kind of his, where he's going to live at. And I could see Josh Downs living as a mid wide receiver too. And again, you need these guys to help you win your league. You're not going to have all the Jamar Chases and Justin Jeffersons. Like, if you are, you're not playing in a competitive league. Let's be honest. If you have all those players and all those picks, it's not competitive. That's just kind of the situation that we're dealing with here. So Josh Downs is someone that I believe can be a good player, just not a great player.
Yeah. And really, like, at the 2-4, like, you're looking for somebody that's just going to be solid.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Not going to burn you. Right.
Yep.
So,
yep.
If you're going in the second round, you know, this is kind of my philosophy with these guys. If you're taking a running back, you're taking upside. And if you want a floor running back with upside, you take them in the first. If you want a floor running back in the second round, yeah, you're probably wasting your pick there, because there's really no guaranteed floor with these guys anymore. So take upside. But if you're going for a wide receiver, it's kind of opposite, right? If you want a high ceiling wide receiver, you take him in the first. If you want a safer guy, take him in the second. So that's kind of what this next pick is going to be as well. So my next guy here is going to be, where is he? Israel Abanaconda. Hard name to pronounce, but I really like this guy. We talked about him on the running back show. And there's the funny thing is, I've seen a lot of guys really start to come out the last couple of weeks and talk about how he's going to be someone that it rises up boards and everything. And hello, got a little visitor here for this episode. But this is the downsides of doing this during nap time. One of the kids wakes up, right? But Israel Abanaconda, he's someone that I've seen a lot of analysts talk about as rising up their boards. And this kid has all the tools in the book. He's not a perfect prospect whatsoever, but the ceiling on him is insane. You look at the measurables, 5'11", 215, he's got perfect size. And when you look at him on tape, he can catch the ball pretty well. He's very mobile very fluid in his mobility. And I just really like what I can see from this kid. And that's why I'm putting him here in the second round. Realistically, I could see him being 212, 3-1, somewhere in that range. But I think he's going to be a steal of the draft. I'm probably going to have him in almost every single league. What do you think about him?
I like him, but I don't like him as much as you do. I would much rather have the likes of, Zach Evans or, I mean, I don't even have him in my top 24. I'll be very honest,
Ah, man.
no, I
I
know, I
know.
know. I
It's
just, I have
early.
a lot blocked.
You have
It is
time.
very early. So, right. I know. I don't know. Like, I think there's other guys I'd rather have. I kind of see him being like a third round. That's more where I see him right now.
I agree
I
with
just
you.
don't
I
think
think
he
that's where he's
does.
going to go, but I think that's where it's going to be a massive steal because you just mentioned the guy that is going to be at 2-6 here, Zach Evans, and comparing these two, what did I just like we just talked about? I think the ceiling on Abanaconda is way higher than Zach Evans. Zach Evans is just kind of a, vanilla running back, like is the best way to
Right.
put
That's
him.
fair.
He
Fair.
doesn't do anything elite, but he's just not bad at anything. So, I think Israel, I'm just going to say his first name for now. I think he is going to be, he has the potential for an Alvin Kamara type of ceiling. Like I just see that from him, but he does have to refine it. I do understand that, but I'm betting on him over Zach Evans any day. And which is crazy because Zach Evans at 2-6, people are also going to go crazy on that, saying that he should be, the 1-6, the 1-7. And I just don't see that. Again, if I'm taking a running back in the first round, I want upside. I just don't see any upside with Zach Evans.
Yeah, well, I see upside with him. I think he's he I could see him, like you said, like being in like being one of those first round running backs where like people are trying to get more of a ceiling hit. I'm not sure about his floor. I think they're both pretty equal with Evans and Abaconda. I just think I think Evans has more tools in his arsenal than Abaconda personally.
Fair, but
Fair.
are you with me with Zach Evans on what are your thoughts on him in the second though? Because like we
Oh,
talked about, I think people are going to be chasing him in the first.
yes. Oh no, at 2-6, that's I think I have him ranked, in the second round, in my ranking. So like I like him there, and if he falls to 2-6 to me, I would be more than happy with him.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick there, but I just don't think
No,
it's going to happen. That's kind of the problem, right? So,
I
in
agree.
reality, if he's around the 1.7, 1.8, 1.9, like people like him, a lot of people like him more than Kendre Miller and Zach Charbonnet. And I don't see the upside there. Like those guys are so much better. Like Zach Charbonnet versus Zach Evans. Zach Charbonnet is just the better version of Zach Evans, right? And Kendre Miller is just more explosive in general. And I'd rather have all the guys we mentioned so far over him, but he's going to be the biggest fade. And I think that it's going to be a bust pick, in my opinion, to take him in the first round. I think you're going to be overdrafting him, but that's where you're going to have to take him if you want him. So,
Yeah.
again, looking at this, Will Levis is probably going to be top six pick in the actual rookie drafts. Zach Evans is going to be a top 10 pick in most rookie drafts. And I'm saying they're not even second round. They're barely like upper second round picks. So take that for what it is. But I just think that there's better names you could have over these guys. All right. So, number, what are we on here? 18? No, Zach Evans was 18. So, number 19 here. It's going to be the other wide receiver with my favorite quarterback from this draft class, Jalin Hyatt. And Jalin Hyatt, at 2-7, feels like a steal. There's rumors that this guy is going to be a first round wide receiver in the actual NFL draft. And if that's the case, it's going to boost him up boards like crazy. But I just think that Jalin Hyatt, this is about the range where I expect him to go. Him and Josh Downs are probably a little more interchangeable here in the mid second. But I think that the upside for these two guys for fantasy football is pretty high, but they're just a little bit more risky, right? Just because of the size concerns, draft concerns, things like that. But Jalin Hyatt is someone that is very, very quick. And go back to our wide receiver rankings. He's someone that we like. We had both Jalin Hyatt and Josh Downs in the tier two of wide receivers. So it's no slight on any of those guys. But again, just comparing the positional value, Superflex, obviously quarterbacks go higher. Michael Mayer is by far the best, you know, tight end prospect in this draft class. And then running back, again, I think people are kind of just looking at this draft class as just a rejuvenation of the position completely across the board. That's why we have seven guys over him. But in reality, if it was last year, Jalin Hyatt would probably be a first-round pick. Like, I like Jalin Hyatt almost as much as some of the guys that were going in, you know, the early second last year, you know, your George Pickens, those type of guys. It's close between Pickens and Jalin Hyatt. You know, it's not that sizable of a gap. So what are your thoughts on Jalin Hyatt here?
I'm going to continue to fade on Jalin Hyatt. I think he's one. I think he's one of those one-year wonders. I think he has a certain, he's a one trick pony in that all he does is nine routes. You know, I see him and I'll be honest, and that's not bad, you know, but like, I mean,
worse for some people.
That's what helped. Yeah, it does, you know, but that doesn't work for everyone. And true. I mean, would you rather have Hyatt or Jameson Williams? Because I see those guys.
Well, similarly. I mean, Jameson Williams was the 1-7 last year. So, I mean,
I agree. But I know. but honestly, with that, I'm feeling comps with Williamson. Excuse me. But you know, I feel a similar vibe that like he's just gonna.
He's not as well rounded as Jameson, as JMO was coming out. So like, obviously that's, I get what you're saying. Cause Jameson is kind of the deeper threat type of guy. And I understand that, but, Jalin Hyatt, the perfect team for him would be like the New York Giants. They need weapons everywhere, right? Yeah. They don't have a deep threat at all. Jalin Hyatt goes to New York and plays for that team. Man, that could be really, really good for him for fantasy because Daniel Jones just doesn't have that option. And, you know, most teams are going to be playing up front to kind of shut down the run and all that, but they need so many weapons over in New York that it would be a good fit there. Let's just imagine a world, right, where they go Jalin Hyatt and Quentin Johnston in this upcoming draft. And all of a sudden you got two guys you got to really watch out for. And, you know, is it, you got to pick your poison a little bit there where they're both fast, but you know, I think Jalin Hyatt has the potential at least to learn more of the route tree. Maybe he's not as well-rounded in it right now, but they have time. You know, he's young. He can definitely put it together. So I don't want to completely count him out. And when you do have that kind of speed, that is something special, right? So we don't want to discount it completely, but yeah, there are definitely flaws here, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, I see him being like John Ross. And just being a guy that's fast, and that's all he does.
As long as he's not the 7 overall pick, we're fine.
I know. I fully agree with that. I agree, but I'm just
or nine.
I've been burned too many times by players like this. And
that's true. That is fair. That is very, very fair. Yes, These guys burn you almost every single year, right? But
yeah, almost every single year. And I think I would rather have. I'm starting to see. I would rather have other players that you probably won't even say in your top 24 than Jalin Hyatt.
Possibly. We'll see here. But and as we finish out these last five, we can talk over, you know, Jalin Hyatt seems to be the first outlier in this round for you, right? Where you'd rather have, Abanaconda. Israel, we'll just say
Israel. I mean, honestly, I would rather have Abanaconda over Hyatt because at least I know I'm going to get a decent floor with Abanaconda. And for Hyatt, like I could get games that, you know, he has 0 points, but I could also get the big explosion games, but I see those few and far between.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, there's a couple more wide receivers we have listed here. So we'll talk on them here shortly. All right. So number 19 here, no, number 20, man, we're going quick. Tank Bigsby. And this is the last running back that will be drafted in the top 24 for me. And again, I can't emphasize it enough. Everyone is kind of looking at this draft class as the saviors. And You're gonna say, wow, you don't have Devin Akin, you don't have Deuce Vaughn, Tajay Spears. I like all those guys, but take them in the third, man. The size concerns for those guys are just way too massive. And I like it. I like the upside, and that's what you should be aiming for. But you got to be realistic too, right? Yeah. Tank Bigsby is 6'2", 213. Deuce Vaughn is 5'6", 176. Like, it's just, it's not comparable. The upside is higher.
It's different.
Deuce Vaughn is going to be way faster. I 100% understand that, but give me the guy that has the potential for an every down back versus Deuce Vaughn. So, Tank Bigsby is going to be the last guy here. And again, this is just where the drop off, and it's not a great wide receiver class. And, you know, I think that kind of artificially boosts guys. Even for me, like Jalin Hyatt, I'm not the biggest fan of Jalin Hyatt, but I think that the gap between Jalin Hyatt and the next guy is just much higher than, you know, this class is worth, right? We have, it just falls off so quick after those first four wide receivers that you're just kind of taking a stab at guys that you think might have that upside of wide receiver two or higher, but it's just no guarantee, right? All right, so Tank Bigsby, any thoughts here?
Yeah, I like Tank Bigsby there. I think he's going to be very solid. I think he has a pretty decent
tank.
I know. He literally is a tank. And, you know, I have no qualms with him being right.
Okay. So, real quick, versus Israel, who would you rather have, Tank or Israel?
As of right now, I think I'd rather have Tank.
Okay. That's where it gets kind of interesting, right? Because size-wise, they're about the same. Yeah. Had these guys in the same tier. So, you know, all these second round guys were all in the same tier, just for transparency there. But the problem with Tank Bigsby is I just don't think he's the most explosive guy. That's just the one downside on him, where that's why I like Israel so much. I think that he has that explosive factor over Zach Evans, over Tank Bigsby. That I just love so much more. Same with Sean Tucker, right? That's kind of just why they're ranked a little bit higher. Maybe I'm overvaluing explosion right now, but in early rankings, it seems to be the safest, right? So after the combine and after the draft, it might change things. But all right, so, and you'd rather have Tank than Hyatt still?
I think I would. I mean, in my rankings, I have Hyatt above Bigsby, but I did those rankings a couple weeks ago, and I've been fading more. I'll probably have them. I mean, I have Hyatt ranked, I think, 15th.
Okay.
And you know, I have him ranked around where he's probably going to be picked at, and you know, I think he's going to be picked appropriately, but I am not going to pick him.
Yeah, and that's where, again, this is where it's going to be very interesting, and depending on who you listen to for your draft analysts all off season, you're going to see guys that have Tank Bigsby as a first round pick. And again, I'm not sold on that, but you're going to see it. Yeah. I'm just prepping you.
I know.
You'll see Boutte at some people have him at 210. You'll have Tank Bigsby at 1.8, and it's just going to be wild. This year has no consensus yet, and it's going to be very interesting to watch that. All right. So next guy here is going to be another wide receiver, and it's going to be, if I can find it. Here he is. Xavier Hutchinson. Yep. I like Hutchinson a lot. Again, I think the upside for him, if we knew the draft landing spot of these two guys now, and let's say they were the same round, I'd probably be taking Hutchinson over Jalin Hyatt. I like his skill set more, but I just think that Jalin Hyatt is going to have a higher ceiling based on draft capital. And, you know, that's not the safest argument, but I'm nervous about Xavier Hutchinson, if he's going to be a top three, like a day two pick or not. And if he can ensure, you know, fourth or better in terms of draft capital, I'll be all in on him. But it does make me a little nervous. Meanwhile, you got Jalin Hyatt with first round hype around him. And again, I don't love him there, but it's possible, right? So I just think that kind of differentiates these two guys. But if they're, you know, let's say they were 301 and 302 in the actual NFL draft, give me Xavier every day of the week. So I like this guy. He's got a very well-rounded skill set, but some matchup concerns, not from the biggest school, you know. So we'll see what he can do, but there's not many big body guys in this wide receiver corps.
Yeah.
6 foot three, 205. Size is going to be something that people are looking for. And, you know, he's got speed too. He's not just big and bulky, kind of like, who was that one guy we talked about, that we watched in person, became the, what's his face? Hakeem Butler, you know, Hakeem Butler was a big dude, right?
Yes.
He was a big dude, but he had no mobility, right? No shiftiness at all. So Xavier doesn't have that. He reminds me more of a Michael Pittman type, a Rashad Bateman type, where they're the kind of taller, slender type of guys, but they can move pretty well. So that's kind of how Xavier Hutchinson stands out to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely see that. You know, I would rather have him over Hyatt, because I know he's going to at least he's gone up against like press coverages and stuff like that, and is able to be physical compared to, you know, like Hyatt, where he played in the slot mostly at Tennessee, and you don't necessarily get those press coverages, and you're more getting it based on matchup.
Right.
So, you know, I would much rather, I honestly had a hard time ranking Hutchinson with some of these other wide receivers, because I feel they're all really close together.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So draft capital is going to be huge for these guys. Testing will be fairly significant for them, but we'll see where their actual landing spot is, because this next guy is the last tight end we're going to talk about, but the guy after that, that's where I want to kind of jump on him a little bit more in depth. So 210 here is going to be Darnell Washington, and again, it's not tight end premium for this mock draft, but I just like the talent of this guy. I think that there's a lot of rumors that he might go in the first round to like the Chargers, for example. And that would be a great landing spot in reality, just because like, even if he's a high second, let's say he goes to the Chargers, they need a tight end pretty bad and they need a blocker for their offensive line. And this guy can do both. So he's going to see a lot of play time from day one. And, you know, when you tie him to an elite offense like Justin Herbert, that's going to be pretty good there. So we'll see where his landing spot is. He's the one that I could definitely see falling off my board in the top 24, but it just felt disrespectful not to keep him up there, just because of how I think his playmaking potential, you know, at a position of need, it should definitely be mentioned at least. You know, a couple years ago, we had Kyle Pitts as a top five pick in most leagues. And then you had Pat Freiermuth in the late second in a lot of super flex leagues. I think that he could be the Pat Freiermuth of this draft class. I don't think he's as explosive and as good of an athlete as Pat Freiermuth, but I think he could be just as deadly of a weapon as him. And he's going to be someone you can snag very, very late, even in super light or tight end premium. I think that you could grab him pretty late in the second.
Yeah. You are much higher on Darnell Washington than I am. I think I'd rather have another tight end that I know you're not very fond of in Kincaid there. I think that's, I think that's where Kincaid's going to fall. And I've also seen mocks with like Kincaid, like going in the first round, which I think would blow your mind. I mean, come on,
Daniel Jeremiah hasn't even admitted he hasn't watched these tight ends yet.
right. No, so I think So I think it's going to be interesting to see how these guys tap.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think Washington and Kincaid are generally, I think they're around the same.
No, Kincaid. So Washington is 6'7", 265. He's a big boy.
He's much bigger than.
Yeah. Michael Mayer and Dalton Kincaid are about the same size. So those two are very, very close. But Washington, that's where I'm with you there. I want to see how explosive he can be, because he is a big boy, right? So that might slow him down a little bit. But if he, you know, let's say he runs like a 4.8, oh man, I could see a lot of people jumping on that.
Right. No. And I agree. But, you know, I think the biggest downside is that we don't always see these like taller guys do as well in the NFL as I think they might, you know, like for like the Mo Alley Coxes of the world, for instance.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's a very intriguing prospect, but I think I would rather have other right. prospects ahead of.
I think the biggest problem with Darnell Washington is he played with Brock Bowers. It just limited yeah. his yes. opportunities so much. It, that
absolutely. Absolutely.
We just didn't get yes. to see what all he could do. And yes. that's just based on what I've seen of him. I think that he's very, very talented and he's going to be a very good playmaker at the NFL level, just based on his size and his, I think he's going to be more, he's going to surprise people at the combine. That's my prediction on Washington. But, you know, if yeah. he didn't play with Brock Bowers, I think he had the potential to really showcase a lot more, but you know, Brock Bowers is just so damn good. So what are you right. going to do? Yes. Right. So, all right. So that said, last tight end there, this guy is someone that I want to talk about here, and it's going to be, if I can find him, one of my favorite wide receivers of this draft class, Parker Washington. He's the one that I think, and this is going to be the last wide receiver of the mock. I think Parker Washington has so much potential to rise up boards. I could honestly see him going, you know, almost all the way up to like Josh Downs at the 2-4 or 2-5, somewhere in that range, just because this guy is a running back in a wide receiver's body, or yeah. he's a wide receiver in a running back's body. That, let me put it correctly. Yeah. He's not the biggest guy. He's very stocky, right? Looking at his measurables, he's 5'10", 215. Like, he's a thick boy. That's what you want from a running back, right? So he yeah. is a running back's body, but the way he moves and the way he can catch and manipulate the corners and all that stuff, like, he reminds me so much of James Washington. And I get it, James Washington didn't produce as well, yeah. but there was so much hype around James Washington, and I just don't want that to be forgotten because the player didn't work out, right? Parker Washington right. looks so good, man. And if he can show it at the NFL level, man, he's going to be a steal. I believe that. I truly do.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm excited about him as well. You know, I think one of his bigger attributes is that he's able to make those contested catches, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes and be physical, which is really going to bode well in the NFL. Cause
he's like Debo. You know, that's who he reminds me so yeah. much of.
I want to go that far, but I think the biggest knock on him I have is that he didn't have as much production in college that
yeah.
I would have liked personally yeah. for it's as for someone that we want to be fairly dominant and stuff like that. But, you know, also he was playing with Will Levis and Sean Clifford, who I've watched for a couple years, and they're not super great quarterbacks. And the Penn State scheme is different than a lot of it. Well, yep. it's just not as wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. So the ideal situation for Parker Washington, I'm putting this out there to will this into existence, right? The San Francisco 49ers, they're going to trade Trey Lance. They're going to trade Brandon Ayuk this offseason. You know, maybe the Bears go get Brandon Ayuk. That'd be pretty nice right there.
Yeah, it would.
Wouldn't complain about that. They just paid Debo. It's really hard to feature oh. all of those guys at the same time.
Nope.
So let's say they trade Brandon Ayuk, go get Parker Washington in the third round, second round. Ooh, baby. And again, I don't think he's as good as Debo. Don't get me wrong there. He's not as explosive right. as Debo. But Debo's whole thing is he's a thick type running back type of wide receiver. You put this yes. guy in Kyle Shanahan's system. Oh my gosh. He will be the next Debo. That's yes, what yes. my prediction
no,
is there.
No, so. I definitely agree with that. So, you know, I also think it helps him that he has like that kick returner gear, yes. I guess you could say.
Yes.
You know, I feel that's going to be good and a detriment for him. So it's going to be interesting how he tests on those explosiveness drills and stuff yeah, like that, and see how he compares to other people.
The broad jump and the code drills.
And
yeah, yep.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting how he tests on vertical jump. Yeah, verts and stuff like that. So
I kept saying 40, and I was like, it's not the 40. You're not jumping.
No, it is not the 40. Yeah, it is not the 40, but, you know, I'm more interested to see his like three cone drill and see how he's able to cut and do stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. So we'll see what he can do. Again, we're going to update the rankings on these post combine, and then one final time post draft. So we can kind of walk through this through the offseason. So these are early rankings. They're going to change, but you know, these are just the where we would kind of take these guys. So the last guy again is going to be Stetson Bennett, and 24 overall.
Sorry.
I get it. I do get it. And the whole thing here is early rankings. It's hard for me to pass up a quarterback that I think is going to be a second round pick or higher in the actual NFL draft. And I don't love the talent of Stetson Bennett, but he's not bad. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. He's just not great, right? And sort of like Bryce Young has a higher ceiling, but Stetson Bennett just, he's Jimmy Garoppolo, man. He just wins. That's all he does. He's not exciting. He's not flashy. It's not fun to watch, but I just think that he's going to be overvalued by actual NFL teams. He's going to go higher. Draft him here at the 212. If you can get him there at the 212, you know, let's say he goes as a first round pick, probably not. But if you can get him at the 212, maybe he goes to a decent team. He'll have a chance at some point in his career to be a starter. You trade him high later. That's basically the whole thing there, because, you know, you look at some of the guys left on the board, and I get it, the Deuce Vaughns, Tajay Spears, Zay Flowers, some of these guys there. I just, give me the quarterback in case he hits, essentially, you know. Zay Flowers would probably be my last guy here. I've kind of been rising on him a little bit, but you know, that's kind of right there. These two guys are right there at the end of the second.
Calvin.
I don't love it, but I just got to be real with my rankings.
I don't know if you're aware that, like, Stinson Bennett this morning got caught with, I think with a DUI charge in Dallas.
Great.
So yes. So
I did not know that, actually.
He will not be a first round pick. If he's a first round pick, I will do something absolutely crazy. I don't care. I will. there's no way. No way he's a first. No way.
And then
after today's stuff, he's definitely, it's going to be interesting to see if he's even a day two pick, and he's not going to the Senior Bowl to show off more.
That was surprising. I was a little surprised by that.
I mean, Hendon Hooker is going to the Senior Bowl and not Stinson Bennett. So that shows you, I feel that shows you more about Hendon Hooker.
Hooker's not even playing, is he? He's still injured, right?
Yeah. He's not,
He's just going to meet with people, essentially.
Yeah. And he's just going to go to meet the guys. He's going to start learning playbooks.
Yep.
I think that's more beneficial than you being.
I agree. I have Hendon Hooker as a 1-8. It's just, I get it.
I think Stinson Bennett is going to be a backup for a couple years and be out of the league. I don't think he is that guy. I understand that he's a 2-time national championship, but so was, I think, AJ McCarron, I think is who that was in the mid 2010s with Alabama. Yep. And then look at him now, like, he's broadcasting on ESPN for college football games.
Yeah, so I'm with you, but I'm just saying, AJ McCarron.
That's where I see Stinson Bennett. That is where I see Stinson Bennett in 5 years.
How highly was AJ McCarron drafted, though? That's the problem, right?
I think he was a 6th-round pick, and that's where Stinson Bennett should be picked.
I thought he was higher than that.
I'm pretty sure.
You can pull that up, but I thought he was higher than that. But here's the problem, right? We see this every single year with Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, his stats suck, but he wins. So it's just, NFL teams have dumb priorities, man. I am with you 100%. They shouldn't prioritize it, but right. I'm trying to just be predictive a little bit here with my rankings, you know, as much as, and like, go ahead.
AJ McCarron was picked up in the fifth round.
I thought it was higher. Who am I thinking of?
I have no idea, but I don't know. But okay. I really think that's where Stinson Bennett's gonna go. That's where he should go.
That's where he should go. Yeah, I don't think he will. That's kind of the problem.
He's 5'11 and 190 count.
Hey, Bryce Young's 5'11 and 190. He's gonna be the number one overall pick.
I would much rather have Bryce Young because I know he can at least make plays. You know, I think for
not Stinson when it matters.
Yeah, Stinson. fair, but I feel for Stinson Bennett had had a lot of talent, had a very good teams around him compared to a lot of other players.
I agree. I understand.
And that really hit a lot of his downfall.
I get it. I understand all the arguments with Stenson Bennett. Like, I'm with you on most of it. The problem is, I just think that he's going to be drafted higher. So until we know the final draft rankings, he will be the one I want to punt off a bridge the fastest. But we'll see where he gets drafted. That's kind of the – I'm hedging right. until we have the actual draft yes. analysis. So yes. Real quick, breaking news. I don't know if you just saw this or not, but your Miami Dolphins got Vic Fangio, agreed to terms with him, be the defensive coordinator. That's huge.
I'm very excited about that. I think he's a very good DC, and I think he's going to coach up Bradley Chubb, and they're going to be
That'll be a fun.
They're going to be fantastic this year.
That defense has so much potential, but man, that's good.
It does.
That's good. All right. So, any major last thoughts on the second round here? If you haven't heard yet, we're going to be coming out tomorrow with the podcast. Tomorrow is going to be talking through some existing players and their draft value. Who would you rather have, you know, Jordan Addison or X, right? So stay tuned for that. And we're going to kind of really put some value to these guys here. And you can disagree with the rankings however you want, but what are your final thoughts here on round two?
It's very interesting. It's really what more I expect. I think the only players I don't really expect in the second round would obviously be Bennett. But he's late. So I think I agree with you that Will Levis is going to be a first round pick. Zach Evans might be end of the first. You know, other than that, I mean, everybody else is pretty right where I think they are. I think the only people you're missing out on, I think, is Zay Flowers is a big one.
Yeah, I'm starting to
I'm starting to love Zay Flowers, and I think he has a lot of the skills needed.
Mm-hmm.
I also have Rashee Rice as one.
It's going to be very interesting. I just like these guys. These other wide receivers, I like them so much more. That's kind of the problem.
Yes. And that's very fair with like this wide receiver class. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be splitting a lot of hairs.
Yep.
On your preference.
Yep. Exactly. So, thoughts on the draft as a whole. You know, we won't have to quick thoughts right. here. The Hendon Hooker, I get it. Realistically, you're going to be getting him in the 2.9, 2.10, somewhere in that range, and I understand that. But dude's going to be talented. We're going to see it. But
that's fair. That is very fair.
Any other thoughts on these guys? Again, early rankings, a lot of flexibility to change these guys here over the next couple months. But any standouts?
I think one standout to me personally is going to be Anthony Richardson and how he does at 1-3. You know, I can see him being more of a late first personally because there's so much other talent. But you know, I do think it's going to be really interesting to see.
Are you saying NFL guys, or rookie?
Well, both.
I was going to say if he's a late NFL first, I mean. So was Lamar Jackson, and now what is he worth, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bijan Robinson and CJ Stroud or Lamar in Superflex, who would you rather? It's close, right? So
yeah, it is close. It is close. So, honestly, like all these guys are pretty well within their limit.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. And again, I get it. This is not how the actual draft board's going to go.
Right.
You know, maybe once we have more of a consensus after the actual NFL draft, maybe that's what we can do then is compare the consensus versus what my rankings are and where some of the big values in bus, the trap picks, as you called them, really lie. But that's where it's going to be interesting, but there's a lot of flexibility. So any last thoughts before we get out of here? We'll shut this one down. Go watch some football.
Nope, we're all good.
All right.
Exactly.
Thank you guys for joining us. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at @TDC_Calvin, @Dynasty_Dale. Find the podcast anywhere you find podcasts, really. Apple, Google, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you want to go, we're there. Shout out one more time to Let's Talk Sports. Go check out my other podcast there, The Calvin Tim Show. Just a good time. So, that said, thank you guys for joining us and come back tomorrow for some actual valuation on these picks. We're going to really put some names to them. But until then, have a good night.